This episode of the Tech Central podcast is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time. I'm Duncan MacLeod, and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm in Parktown in Johannesburg today to talk to Alex Thompson, co-founder of a new vehicle insurance technology startup called Naked, which is promising to use artificial intelligence to shake up the staid world of insurance. Alex, welcome to the podcast. Why the name Naked?
Hi, Duncan. Thanks very much for having me. And yes, well, we feel that insurance could do with a bit of transparency. You know, by naked we mean something real, something that you can trust. That's why we chose the name Naked.
You can trust Naked.
Fair enough.
Okay. I suppose it also gets attention. It's a word that is memorable, and people say, what? Why is it called that?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, certainly it was mostly around alluding to transparency. We feel that the insurance industry is something which a lot of people have difficulty trusting. You know, we've spoken to hundreds of people in the run-up to this business, and what we hear too often is, I don't trust those guys. You know, I'm not quite sure why my policy works the way it does. I'm paying a fair premium. And we just felt that, you know, we needed to really fundamentally overhaul that. And we think Naked captures that.
Right. As you mentioned, I think insurance is very much a grudge purchase at the best of times. What are you guys hoping to do differently?
Yeah, well, we really want to change the way people feel about their insurance, like the way the kind of relationship between the customer and the insurer. You know, at times it can be a bit of a one-sided relationship, you know, where the insurer knows everything about you and you aren't an expert in insurance, right? And quite often that can mean that they can use that advantage, that information advantage, for their benefit. And we feel that we need to sort of level the playing fields a little bit, and really trying to fundamentally sort of improve the relationship, make you feel as though we're on your side, we are delivering a product that works for you rather than just working for us.
All right. So you describe yourself as an insurtech business, part of this, I suppose, fintech wave that we've seen sweeping the world. But what are you? Why, as a prospective customer, should I consider you over one of the big traditional insurance companies? Take me through the mechanics of it and what I can expect that's going to be different.
So we reluctantly fall into the insurtech category, I think.
Reluctantly.
I mean, it's at times, I suppose, a useful grouping. We feel really we're a new insurance business that we think is offering something very different and, in our view, very much better. Mm-hmm. So there's really three elements to what we think we offer to our clients, right? So the first is, I mean, insurance for a lot of people does come down to price. And what key driver of price is costs that the insurance company incurs. So what we've done is use technology to try to really remove as much of the costs, lots of the manual processes. You know, we don't have your traditional call center. We don't use brokers. We're really trying to remove a lot of the manual work that adds enormous amount to the cost of insurance. So we use, that's where the sort of the AI comes in, you know, automated backends, which just do everything automatically. And that and other things allow us to significantly lower the costs for many, many people. So that's the first element. I think the second element is, you know, the technology also gives us the ability to place the control for your insurance into your hands as the customer, rather than having to deal through somebody else the whole time. You can go onto our site or on our app and get a final quote in 90 seconds. Put in your payment details and you're covered. I mean, It really is that simple. It takes a couple of minutes. There's really nothing more to it. There's no sort of callback to confirm everything, which seems to be what everybody else does. And there's a range of other things. You can do things like pausing your cover when you're not going to be driving your car. You can do that instantly on the app. You can claim, just by doing a video selfie on the app. All these sort of things really about using technology to make it so much simpler and easier for our customers to use. And then thirdly is what I was sort of pointing to earlier. It's really trying to bake in a far greater level of fairness into insurance, you know, to try to improve that relationship, the way people feel about their insurance provider. And what we've done there, we can talk about it, is really change the way we make money so that we're less, you know, kind of against you and more with you on your side as more of a tech business and certainly in terms of the economics of the business, are closer to a tech business than to the way in which insurance companies typically work.
Do you think this industry is ripe for disruption right now?
I do think so. I think that, you know, my co-founders and I spent our careers in the insurance industry, mostly consulting to the big insurance brands that we all know. And there's a number of things that we think place them not in a great position to remain the kind of go-to brands, go-to organizations that we all turn to for insurance. You know, the sort of obvious one is the technology. You know, the systems were built decades ago. They were built with a very different business model in mind, where there was always a person between the customer and the system. Right? They were sort of almost more of the system was more of a storage mechanism, you know, than actually something which was designed to deliver a great experience to clients. So that legacy is quite a burden for them. You know, we worked with quite a number of them and saw how difficult and expensive and slow it is to deliver a fantastic experience online. But it's not just the systems, you know, it's kind of a whole sort of set of legacy from a different era of business when, you know, you were dealing mostly with brokers or sort of running good call centers and you know, the innovation was things like listening to your brokers and then sort of patching your systems and your product to kind of deal with their requirements, rather than building like sort of ground up innovation processes and sort of getting really, really close to your customers using all of the digital technology that we have at present. So that coupled with, as I said, the issues that so many people seem to have with insurance from a relationship fairness perspective, we do think there's significant opportunity. And we're seeing, as you'll know, locally, a number of new players coming through that are looking to make an impact in the market, and internationally, a number of really interesting players doing some great things there as well.
But you've got technology at the heart of this business, right? You tell us a bit about the artificial intelligence platform. You've developed it in-house, have you?
Correct. Yes. So okay. Everything we've done, we've built completely in-house. We haven't licensed any existing insurance technology. I mean, on the AI side, yes, certainly we do use libraries and things that have been developed elsewhere. Sure. But we implement them ourselves and integrate them and so on. And so the AI is really a wave that's going to affect all businesses. And we're just in the fortunate position that we can design the business, you know, from the beginning to position ourselves to take advantage of what AI brings. So, you know, the sort of starting things are things like just automating all the back-end processes so that there's no human involvement in that. The other part of the thing that we've spent a lot of time on has been on claims fraud. As you may know, about 30% of what you pay for a car insurance premium actually goes towards fraud. It goes towards either fraudulent claims or the insurance provider having to manage, you know, fraud and having people that check to make sure that things are legitimate. Apart from being expensive, that's also a huge inconvenience and an invasion of privacy, quite often in my mind, to customers. So what AI allows us to do is to automatically run a bunch of really smart algorithms to check whether fraud is actually in place and to be able to do that without really inconveniencing our client.
And what impact has that had? I mean, what are the fraud levels you've seen? I know you're a new business, so I'm not sure if you have those sort of detailed statistics yet. But
I think it's probably a bit too early to say just to say that. But certainly, what we have seen is you know, people really liking the idea of it, and the claims that we've had have gone very smoothly.
All right, tell me a bit more about the genesis of this business. Who are your partners, and how did you meet? How did the whole business come about? What was the genesis of the idea?
Yeah, so I mean, there's the three co-founders and I've my two co-founders and I, the three of us have kind of had careers that have kind of interwoven for many, many years. And as I said, it's been in the insurance industry predominantly. And we, the three of us actually all ended up at Ernst & Young in the advisory business there. Uh-huh. And as I said, we were consulting to a lot of the big insurance groups and just felt that these guys are going to struggle to remain relevant, are going to struggle. They are trying to figure out how particular your kind of younger consumer, and younger is not necessarily sort of 18. I mean, it can be any age, and you know, many people in their 30s, even 40s, who are no longer just wanting to deal with a person every time they want to do something simple like transact a financial services product. I mean, obviously, we've seen the banking industry, how successful, you know, internet banking apps and websites have become. But it hasn't really caught on insurance. And so we saw all of this, and we were trying to help these companies with getting better at this. And eventually, we just actually got concerned that they weren't going to win with this. Mm-hmm. And also became concerned that the industry was going to kind of be replaced by international players who were seeing this future and who were investing ahead of the curve here. So we felt that there was an opportunity and a need, really, to build a business locally that certainly has international ambitions, but to start with delivering a really, you know, fantastic experience for South African consumers.
All right. And you've started with vehicle insurance. Are there plans to broaden that into other forms of short-term insurance as well?
Yeah, in due course. We really want to start by building a fantastic car insurance product.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's really our where all of our effort is going to at the moment. And broadening into other things is something we will get to down the line, but it won't be in the short term.
Why did you decide to start with vehicle insurance?
The kind of fairness issues and so on that we heard people talking about seem to be most acute in car insurance. You know, it's a very complex product in the sense that, you know, all sorts of things can go wrong. It's something that we all, you know, certainly all vehicle owners should have. And, you know, the way in which, you know, claims get settled and the sort of all the sort of rules about, you know, how you're supposed to behave when you have car insurance and when you're covered and when you're not, very complex, which creates just a lot of potential for abuse. So we felt that was where the most chronic problem and opportunity was in terms of offering a far better product.
All right. Okay. So who are the shareholders? I presume the three co-founders. We're next to the Hollard head office here in Johannesburg right now. Are they a shareholder as well?
So the shareholders of Hollard are the primary investors in this business alongside management. And so they've been a really fantastic partner with us. Hollard does underwrite the business, so right. You know, you need a short-term insurance license to be able to write on. So they provide that guarantee that no matter what, you know, all claims will be paid, which is really great. And they've been a fantastic partner for us as well.
Did you consider getting your own license, or did it just make sense to work with a existing insurer?
Yeah, as a startup, economically, it doesn't make sense. You know, for the regulator to give you a license, you need hundreds and hundreds of millions.
Right.
And we feel that that's something we'll get to hopefully down the line. But yeah. For now, we have a fantastic relationship with Hollard. They've been very supportive, and we're very happy with the way things are working.
All right. So it's you guys plus Hollard. Any other investors in the business?
No, not at the moment. Okay. No, that's it for now. Yeah.
All right. So you launched officially in April. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, we're about just over 2 months in.
2 months old. And what's the reception been like?
It's been really amazing. We've been, we started working on the product, I suppose, just short of two years ago formally, after we'd resigned our previous jobs, and you know, it's been a lot of hard work. You know, sort of really trying to figure out the product and building the tech, you know, from scratch, as I said. And so it's been really gratifying. The kind of feedback we've had, the take up we've had, the interest, it's been phenomenal. So we really couldn't be happier at this stage. But it's early on. You know, we've got a long way to go. There's a lot more we want to do. We've got some really exciting things coming down the line.
And I presume you've been talking to some of these clients who've been signing up. What reasons are they giving for switching from their existing insurers?
Yeah, I mean, you can actually just go onto Twitter. Quite a few of them have put it into the sort of Twitter sphere, and I mean, in sort of email, we often ask our clients, you know, sort of why did you choose us?
Yeah.
And that's probably been the sort of most enjoyable part of the day, because, you know, they always give us some incredible stories about why they love what we're doing. Quite a lot of it is, I think, our mission, our purpose, what we're trying to do, trying to make something which, as you said, it's a grudge purchase. People don't really like the product. Trying to make that completely better, you know, wholeheartedly better. And people just sort of warm to that kind of initiative. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at a more tangible level, you know, they love the fact that the buying process is so quick and easy. There's a part of the business that I haven't quite got to where we actually donate leftover money to charity. A lot of people like respond to that. And you know, I think just generally people feeling as though a breath of fresh air is needed in this quite stodgy industry.
Is the insurance broker industry worried about you guys? I mean, you don't work with brokers at all, right?
We don't work with brokers. I think the, you know, what's happened in the last decade or two has been quite a big shift in the South African short-term insurance industry from being mostly broker-driven to being mostly so-called direct, which is really call center-based businesses.
Right.
And so I don't think that the brokers are as much worried about us as they are about those direct players who've taken most of a lot of their business over the last few years. I think that the direct businesses are probably more concerned about businesses like us and you know, there is, I think, a general view in locally, internationally, that businesses like us are likely to be the future. And so everyone's trying to figure out what that looks like. And you would have seen that a lot of the sort of big brands have come out with apps and have kind of released various functionality on websites and on apps. But what you'll also notice there is that a lot of the core functionality, things like actually onboarding as a new client, you can't do on those apps. You can't cancel on those apps. Those kind of things. Really, the sort of key sort of activities that you might want to do, you can't change your policy fundamentally on those apps. Why not? Right? It's because the business model that they've built there relies on the fact that they can engage with you as a person, that they can read you and figure out what kind of price are you likely to pay, how can I convince you to stay, what kind of premium increase can I slip through without you leaving, those kind of things. All of that kind of behavior we don't support. Okay. By making the thing tangible in your hands, something in your control, all of those kind of behaviors just fall away. We can't do them, even if we wanted to, because we're not going to be sitting there negotiating price with you. We don't have a discounting model. We offer one price. And if someone else can beat your price, you click cancel on our app and you're gone. It's that simple. You get a refund for your unused premiums. So it's a very different experience, right? It's not this game where as an insurance provider, you know, I'm sort of trying to make as much money from you as a client as I possibly can, putting through those increases and, you know, threatening that you might lose your cash back if you claim and those sort of things. We don't do any of that sort of thing.
What happens if you do claim? Any changes to your policies?
Well, we're building a lot of technology to make that process as quick and easy as it possibly can. Car insurance claiming, as I said, is pretty complex. There's a lot of different you know, steps in the chain, and we have more work to do in making that fully tech-enabled and automated. But the claiming process at the moment, for example, is really simple. All you do is you go onto the app, you chat to a bot called Jade, you give a few bits of information, and you do a video selfie. You describe the incident. You literally say, I was driving down the road, da-da-da-da-da, and takes you a minute or two. You submit the claim, and that's it. Right, we'll then pick up the claim and handle it however it needs to be handled. But so much of a simpler process of kind of kicking off your claim than phoning into a call center or filling out some long form.
Is there not concern that fraudsters are going to game the system, find ways to make claims which aren't true? I know you've built artificial intelligence in the background to try and root that out, but I imagine traditional insurance companies have investigators, spend a lot of time actually investigating specific incidents to check that they in fact happened, and the value of what was stolen is in fact the value of what was stolen. How much do you trust the technology to be able to help you to root out those sort of things?
Yeah, we have actually a lot of confidence in it. There's incredible stuff that you can do with technology now, and people who are being dishonest leave markers. It's very, very difficult in the world of kind of granular data, you know, where you're doing a video selfie, for example, to game the system.
Yeah.
It's extremely, you have to be extremely skilled.
Right.
And we have a lot of, we have a lot of data that your normal insurance company doesn't have.
Right. Yeah.
Which and as that data gets richer, gets deeper, we get more experience, we're just going to get better and better and better at it. So we feel very confident, in fact, that we'll cut out a lot of fraud, a lot of dishonesty in the system. And that's actually something which benefits everyone, right? Because when we cut out fraud, it would allow us to reduce premiums. And of course, that's a win-win for everyone.
Is there a particular demographic that you appeal to, perhaps younger? Do your clients skew younger? People are more comfortable using technology, not interfacing with a broker, for example. Are you seeing your client base typically younger than than a traditional insurance company?
Yeah, definitely. So we do see a younger skew in it, but it's not exclusively young. I think there's a view sometimes that like it's only going to be people under 35 or something. We've got plenty of people, 40s, 50s, even 60s, and even 70s, actually. And so, you know, I think, as you say, the key thing is comfort being like using technology to transact this way. If you're the sort of person that likes to go into the bank branch just because you feel more comfortable transacting that way, our product is not for you.
Right.
But if you're someone who likes to do things online quickly and easily, to research products yourself, to transact like that, we're the perfect solution.
Mm-hmm. How big is the team now, and how big do you see it getting?
You know, our aim is to really keep the sort of permanent staff here pretty small. Mm-hmm. I've run a number of businesses over the years, and there's a real something special that happens when you can pull together a group of really smart, capable, diverse people, and keep it small. You can do magic that way, I think.
Yeah.
When you get this enormous big business, and you know the politics start, and things just get a lot more complicated.
The cost base goes up.
Your cost base goes up, and all that sort of thing. So at the moment, we've got 11 staff, mm-hmm. and I think we're 12 staff now, and we hope to keep it not much more than that for as long as we possibly can.
All right.
At some point, you know, when the client numbers really grow, yeah. we'll probably have to grow the team a bit, but we really don't want to get too big.
And what's the skills mix in the team? Is it mostly developers?
Yeah, developers, mostly mm-hmm. software developers. We've got an exceptional team of young people who are doing some amazing work. Designers, all the founder group are actuaries, so we kind of got an embarrassment of riches of analytical skills, and the AI team is yeah, people with very strong analytical and computing skills.
Okay.
So that's the kind of mix that we have right now.
So Android and iOS, I presume?
Yes. So the Android app is not up at the moment.
Okay.
So at the moment, anyone can buy on the web.
Yeah.
If you want to buy on the app, it's iOS. But we should have our Android app out any day now.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You mentioned earlier that you take a portion of the premiums to run the business, and at the end of the year, money left over in the claims pool goes to charities nominated by customers. What's the thinking behind that? And which charity is the biggest beneficiary so far?
Yeah, so I suppose let me just talk a little bit about how we have fundamentally sort of re-engineered the way in which insurance works.
Yeah.
Insurance companies, normal insurance companies, work by making money predominantly on what's called the underwriting results, which is really the difference between what you get in premiums and pay out in claims and expenses. Mm. And that, of course, creates an interesting dynamic because we all operate under incentives. And if you're a claims manager or someone and your incentive is, well, to improve that underwriting result number, if you can find ways to reduce claims, well, you know, it shouldn't be too much of a surprise if not everyone's happy about the claim experience that they get at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So we see that as really a sort of insurance company being in opposition with their clients. It's a form of a conflict of interest. And so we wanted to really deeply change that, not just say intentionally, you know, we want to be better and we're going to try to do better. Lots of companies have tried that, and sooner or later that profit motive drags you back into trying to maximize underwriting profits. We have then decided to take a flat fee of the premium, a flat 20% of the premium, which really turns us into more of a tech business. You know, we do well when our clients do well, when they're happy with the service, when they stay for a long time, when they add more products to our service, we do well, right? We do not do better when we find ways to make claims lower, right? We do not do much better when we can put through unfair premium increases. And we think that's a sort of fundamentally changing insurance. As I said, we have, you know, the balance sheet of Hollard behind us. We have reinsurance in play to make sure that even in the bad years, so even if that 80%, that what's left over after we take our 20%, even if that's been all paid out, there's the rest, all the claims will still be paid. But what about the good years, right? If there's less than the 80% paid out, what goes to it? It can't come to us, because then we would be in the same position and we'd be conflicted. So what we do is we donate it to charities that our clients choose, And the idea is that, you know, those can be things that are actually quite close to your heart. It's not just about necessarily choosing a big national charity, although that's fine as well. But it could be something, you know, like a school that you want to support, a religious organization, a small not-for-profit, something that you really feel close to, that's part of your community, something that you want to support. And we've chosen that model in contrast to a cashback kind of model, you know, where you get a payment out sort of after 3 years in your personal capacity. Because having looked very closely at that model, and, you know, as I said, we've worked in the industry for many, many years, we realized that that is actually not in our clients' interests. Paying back money sounds like it's in your interest. Mm. But the insurance companies, what they do is that they use the promise of that future money to really do things that favor them and that don't favor you as a client. Well, they do that in our view quite often. And so we actually felt that it's actually more in our clients' interests to pay this money to charity than to pay that back to them. Sounds like a strange thing to say. So we found and that's actually had a really good response. It means that with your insurance, you can also uplift the communities around you, and it really fundamentally removes our conflict of interest.
Mm. I've always thought the no claim bonus thing was a clever way of stopping you from claiming if you suffer a theft or something.
That's definitely part of it. Yeah. I'll tell you what the bigger one is, though. Yeah. Sort of giving the sort of industry secrets away here, but
please do.
the bigger one is that, you know, so you've been with an insurance provider for a couple of years, and you've got this cashback coming up in a few months' time, and then you get your premium increase letter. Mm-hmm. Right, and they can put through a really big premium increase because you don't want to lose that cashback that you've got coming up down the line, right? And so, even though you think, why is my premium going up by 10% when my car's been depreciating and I'm a bit older and surely my risk is going down, but I don't want to lose that cashback, so I'll stay. And that sort of rolls and rolls and rolls, and it allows the insurance company to make more and more money, you know, from you because of that promise of that cashback. So we don't think that is the way that insurance should work. We don't think that's the right way of operating.
And people wonder why we don't like them. So before I let you go, Alex, the platform you've built here, could it be used for doing things beyond insurance? Is that potentially something that's on your roadmap down the line, or is this going to stay an insurance play?
Insurance is probably the way we've defined it. I mean, you know, the great thing about this world we live in is that the boundaries between products and sectors are blurring.
Yeah.
Our competitors are no longer just insurance companies; they've, you know, car manufacturers and telcos and banks and everything else. Equally, we'll be able to do all sorts of other things down the line. But, you know, I think focus is important. Mm-hmm. Our focus right now is in delivering the most exceptional insurance experience we possibly can, and anything beyond that is just something which we may talk about over a beer, but is not really in our immediate line of sight.
Okay. And international expansion on the cards?
Yeah, we think so. Mm-hmm. We think so. We think that, I mean, certainly the way we've built it, it should scale relatively easily internationally. I think there's lots of opportunity. We've had approaches from a number of operators in other countries who are keen to work with us. But it won't be in the immediate future. It'll be a sort of maybe something we'll look at next year.
All right. What is your website for anyone who's interested?
Thanks. Yeah, it's www.naked.insure, I-N-S-U-R-E. Cool. Not .co.za or .com, just naked.insure.
Pretty cool URL. I actually like some of the websites that are coming out now with ICANN having opened up a whole lot of new top-level domains. It's quite cool.
We felt it was important to have the word insure next to naked so that, you know, we were clear.
You're not a porn site.
Someone is looking over your shoulder, they didn't get the wrong idea.
Alex Thompson is co-founder of Naked. Thank you so much for talking to Tech Central today.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks, Duncan.